Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. Microsoft has ended production of Kinect, its motion tracking games controller. It may sound like an April Fool's prank, but no, Amazon really does want you to give you their delivery drivers a key to your house. A Google company chose Toronto, Ontario as the building site for its new futuristic city. A Microsoft rep had to switch to Chrome during a presentation because Edge kept crashing. And remember the robot that said it would destroy humans? Well, it just became the first robot to gain in the world to gain citizenship. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? Just because Jeff is confused doesn't mean you have to be. Visit cat5.tv/dreamhost to sign up for unlimited web hosting for your website with unlimited email accounts, MySQL databases, the latest version of PHP, WordPress, and more, and even a free domain name registration. It's less than $6 per month, so sign up today. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. Microsoft has ended production of Kinect, its motion tracking games controller. Microsoft has confirmed that the gadget, originally sold as an add-on for the Xbox 360 console and later bundled with Xbox One, will no longer be manufactured. This will bring an end to a player-sensing platform that was sometimes finicky. Microsoft was careful to note, however, that support for the device, as well as development of new software for the hardware by third parties, will not see an abrupt end. The news hardly comes as a surprise, though, given Microsoft's push in recent years for augmented and virtual reality. Microsoft is aggressively pushing games developers towards its more powerful and immersive, not to mention lucrative, Windows Mixed Reality VR headsets for their new titles, while the few business use cases there were for the Kinect are being moved over to the HoloLens. Microsoft has already distanced the Kinect from the Xbox, with new consoles no longer being bundled with the sensor bar. So, what business use cases was there for Kinect?
Kinect?
Yeah.
Because you picture it like gaming.
Sense. Yeah.
Like dance revolution and
right.
This kind of stuff. I think really what it boils down to is, like, you think about an immersive environment where an engineer, for example, can work with blueprints and it, like, think a la Minority Report.
Oh.
Where you can, you know, use hand gestures to move things around and be able to move them around. But being off of the screen and into HoloLens, now you can actually maneuver holographic looking object.
So is that what HoloLens is? HoloLens just is holographic, like, actual depictions?
Yeah, essentially. Like, from the wearer's perspective, HoloLens is a VR headset.
Oh, okay.
Microsoft's brand. But what's different about it, unlike Oculus Rift or HTC's units and things like that, it is not virtual reality in that it's not, like, you can't see anything else. Typical virtual reality, Oculus and so on, are a screen in front of your eyes.
Right.
HoloLens, what's different about it is that they are clear lenses in front of your eyes. So you're seeing the real world around you, and then it's augmenting that world with virtual holograms. So you see in the room around you all these other things,
right,
but they're not actually there. So it's a different environment altogether.
Right.
So you can see that HoloLens could work really, really well in an engineering kind of
scenario.
Think about architecture, things like that. It would be fantastic. And there's no limit to what could be, you know, the creativity of the programmers and what they could do with HoloLens.
Right.
Astonishing.
Now,
gaming.
I have a big problem, though, with the fact that if everything is VR headsets or even HoloLenses, right, then with gaming, how do you share your gaming experience with other people in the room?
Obviously, everyone brings their own Oculus Rift. That would be awesome. No, typically, what would be done is you've built your gaming computer. You've got four 4K video outputs on that card, plus a DVI output. And you can do mirroring. So, for example, if you plugged in an Oculus Rift and did video gaming,
right,
for example, and the wearer is interacting in a virtual space, but the people in the room could be watching it simultaneously on the 60-inch TV.
Okay, that's important for me because I'm a game connoisseur in the watching fashion.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm not a good gamer at all, but I love watching the kids and I love the excitement behind it.
Exactly.
But yeah, no.
It would be a little bit bland if I was if it was just watching somebody with a VR headset on just moving around in a room.
What do you see? What do you see?
Yeah, exactly. What'd you just do?
Yeah.
Okay, so all is not lost.
No, it should be actually a very cool experience.
It's going to be amazing.
Either way.
This is crazy. It may sound like an April Fool's prank, actually, but Amazon really does want to give their delivery drivers a key to your house. Mm. The new Amazon Key system allows delivery personnel to drop off packages inside Prime members' homes, providing secure home access when the homeowner is not available. Amazon Key works in two parts, choosing in-home delivery while checking out on Amazon, and providing access to your home through Amazon's new Key and Home Kit, which includes a smart lock and a special version of the company's new Cloud Cam security camera. The old school method of leaving a key underneath your doormat is inconvenient and often anxiety-inducing as well, so Amazon believes its new lock and camera system will make accessing your home when you're not around more secure. Amazon delivery employees aren't given a passcode to enter the home. Rather, they request access into the home and Amazon's records verify that the employee is at the right address at the right time. Amazon Key will launch on November 8th in 37 cities around the U.S. and works with same-day, one-day, two-day, and standard shipping orders.
You know what? Which one of you watching at home or yourself has ever put a key under a rock under the, you know, in the front garden and told Amazon to put your things in the house?
Never.
Ever?
Never, ever.
Ever?
Have you?
No.
Yeah.
Goodness me, I don't want Amazon walking into my house.
No. I will tell my neighbor sometimes if there's something big that's coming.
Yeah, put a note on the door and says, I'm not here, leave it with Joe next door.
Exactly. But Amazon in my house? Yeah. Like, how is it that the employee requests access to the house even?
Well, it's a smart lock.
Right.
So they would have some way of, you know, they're tracked by GPS, by Amazon, and Amazon, you know, call center is in control of your lock. So when the delivery person arrives, then all of a sudden your cloud cam turns on, and so you can see on your app that, hey, the delivery person is there. You can actually see them entering the house, and Amazon will actually unlock the door for the delivery person.
Remotely.
Right. Yeah.
In a very secure situation.
They don't literally have a key or a key code.
Right.
They walk up to the door. GPS says to Amazon headquarters, hey, they're here with the delivery. And they punch in whatever in their mobile device. And then Amazon opens the door.
There is no way that that's not hackable.
It really does seem like an April Fool's joke.
Like
if it was not November, I'd be just...
I would prefer. Remember in the old days, beside your house, there would like be a box. There was one in my childhood home. There was, I think it was like a milk delivery box. Yep. To be honest, they open just one little part, and there's like a compartment in the side of your house.
Couldn't
and
they climb through.
They can't climb through. Yeah. Well, and it's just big enough for parcels.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know.
I can see. I mean, we've talked about people stealing Amazon packages from people's front porches and stuff, but really, you know, that really has to be our responsibility too. Just like any delivery system. For me, I opened a postal box and I get all my parcels delivered to the postal box and then I don't have to be there.
Right.
And it saves me a lot of trouble.
So homeowners, then if you have a theft in the house anytime after you've had a package delivered, what is your insurance going to cover? Because you've let somebody you don't know into the house and perhaps that person themselves would have some sort of claim saying, well, yes, I was just delivering a package, but that doesn't save them from telling somebody else what they scoped.
I mean, assuming your cloud cam is active and working, you can see what's going on. You can see who it is that's entering the house. So at least you give it that.
Right.
But you know, I think about stuff like, what if a dog gets out? What if, you know, this or that? Or I don't know. I'm not for it.
I am not for it.
What do you think? Comment below. Please do.
I have an idea, Amazon, actually. Why doesn't Amazon just sell like boxes that you can screw to the side of your house or affix somehow that are a lockbox?
We'll step back to the 60s.
Right? Not a problem at all.
An Amazon box that they have a key to. Oh my gosh.
See?
There you go.
The smart lock
goes on this box outside of your house.
Exactly.
It's like a garbage bin. And they just put your stuff in there and then they lock it when they leave.
That's what I'm saying.
Bring it on, Amazon.
Come on, Amazon. Don't give random delivery people access to my home.
Amazon bin.
That's
what we're going to call it. Patent that. Register the .com.
Do it now. Okay. In awesome technology news, Google's Urban Innovation offshoot looked at hundreds of international cities before choosing Toronto's East Waterfront as the best site for using technology to radically remake the modern city. Dan Doktoroff, chief executive of New York-based Sidewalk Lab, said his two-year-old company looked across North America, Western Europe, and Australia for the best place to try new ideas, including self-driving buses and mass-production modular homes intended to solve major problems of urban living, such as high housing costs, commute times, social inequality, climate change, and even cold weather keeping people indoors. Sidewalk Lab settled on Toronto for several reasons, including unequal diversity and spirit of openness, a booming tech sector, and three levels of government that are committed to Waterfront Toronto's unfolding redevelopment plans for 800 acres of east downtown land. Doktoroff said his company will spend $50 million on a year-long discussion starting at a public meeting held today with citizens, governments, universities, and others about what the project dubbed Sidewalk Toronto should be. Google Canada will move its Richmond Street headquarters to the area. Sidewalk Labs says it would have an insatiable appetite for partnership with other companies, including local tech startups, as well as universities and others on the build out. Officials stressed that all plans are tentative until the end of the consultations. Nevertheless, the Sidewalk Labs' winning submissions paints a futuristic picture. Transportation would be provided by small self-driving taxi bots, controlled by app services with self-driving buses to follow. An already planned waterfront light rail line would link new communities with surrounding areas. The flow of people would be monitored and maximized by computer sensors constantly analyzing data. Instead of city garbage trucks rumbling through streets, robot vehicles would move waste and other goods through underground tunnels. Weather mitigation features, including windshields and possibly heated surfaces, could double the time people spend outside and encourage cycling and walking. There are big questions and challenges. Some worry that Google, which makes money with data about people's lives, could use the new project in a way that jeopardizes privacy. Sidewalk Labs documents that were released last month don't dispute that such data will be collected, but do try to lessen such concerns with assurances that security and privacy protection will be part of the new infrastructure.
Lots of concerns there. Wow. Like, lots of really cool stuff happening.
Right.
I think, like, the future city is the future. But what about putting Google in government, basically? Like, where... Who elected Google to be the government of this future city? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. Yeah, it's the money that elected Google.
Yeah, it's the money.
The money did that.
Yeah, but do you understand that? Like, what they're going to have to be granted basically blanket ability to run this community.
Right.
To be the government of this community, essentially.
True.
And if that happens... Well, who, you know, what does democracy have to say about that? And our voting, you know, who are we voting for?
Right.
So, you know, not to get political, but there are concerns, I think, that are quite valid there. Mm-hmm. But from a technological standpoint.
Right.
How cool.
Very cool. One question I really have about that story was social inequality being changed by technology. which doesn't exactly, like, it sounds like a little bit of, like, pretty talk to me. Like, why would they say that? Why would they just add that in?
It's when
how can that, how would that work? I can see some other things, right?
Like, yeah, you mentioned that, and immediately, you know, I know social inequality, but the word socialism comes to mind. And I start to, you know, wonder, is it a utopian society? Is that what they're trying to build? Wow. Are they trying to build something where nobody is for want and everybody is taken care of? Or, you know, what's the deal?
Right.
They talk about, and the, you know, the papers have talked about, like the release papers that Sidewalk Labs have released, discuss low-income housing and the ability for anyone can afford to live here. And it's designed so that everybody has access. The transportation system is accessible and able to accommodate everyone from all different walks of life.
So how are you going to get a spot there? Because there's not going to be a limit,
sure.
Right? So then,
but it's just a starting point. The idea is to expand this,
right,
to become like the future.
One thing I love about this, and I saw a video a long time ago about solar roadways, and I feel like perhaps this is the time, right, where that could actually happen.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's a cool idea, too, where the solar panels in the roadway are able to absorb the sunlight during the day and then feed it back into the infrastructure at other times, or even feed it back into electric cars and vehicles and things like that.
Right. There is the thought, too, that if they're doing away with garbage trucks, they're doing away with garbage truck drivers, if they're doing away with...
Again, socialism comes to mind.
Right.
The thought that, hey, you know, robots can do the job for us, we can just enjoy life and live for different purposes in a way.
Right.
You know, live to live rather than living to work.
Right. I do love the idea of garbage being taken away by garbage bots underground tunnels, which that's also cool. Means that you could probably get your Amazon orders through underground tunnels as well, which is amazing.
Amazon Underground. Patent it. Register.com.
We're ideas today. Okay. A Microsoft rep has been caught on video switching from Edge to Chrome in the middle of a sales pitch because the native Microsoft browser kept crashing on him. The presentation was designed to show customers how easy it is to migrate apps and data to Microsoft Azure, except it would seem that that's not the case if you're using Microsoft's own web browser, Edge.
Nice.
Oops. As Edge hangs, the unknown Microsoft demonstrator says, "I always love it when demos break, so while we're talking here, I'm just going to install Chrome." He chuckles as the audience breaks into a nervous ripple of applause. It's all very charming and friendly, and everyone is on the same side, but it still makes for slightly cringe-worthy watching. He goes on to complete the demo in the competitor's browser to a chorus of giggles from the audience. Microsoft Edge is currently way behind its rivals in terms of market share, in particular Google Chrome. It has a far less developed ecosystem, and the number of bells and whistles and add-ons is far less than the competition, with some also claiming the performance is bad. However, for a company that is still trying to convince the business market that it is really a really good idea to switch from Windows 7 to Windows 10, Microsoft employees giving up on the company's default browser because it crashes while running the default cloud interface is not going to instill much confidence. Wow.
So true. So true.
That is crazy and funny. And crazy.
I love it.
Oh.
But kudos to him. I mean, good job on just, you know what? We're all people. Like, I mean, you've got to go with what works. But, you know, doesn't that say a lot about Edge?
I know.
And it's the poor people that, you know, get Windows 10 and don't know to install Chrome and are stuck with Edge. Ouch.
Right. Why would businesses be reluctant to switch from 7 to 10?
Windows 7, well, you remember when Windows XP ended and, you know, there are still people running it for the next 5 years?
Right.
It just is, it's hard to switch paradigms, for one thing, but it's costly. You think about an industrial business that has CNC machines and big equipment that is powered by Windows 7 and then tell them, oh, by the way, I know you just bought this 5 years ago, but you need to upgrade just because we've changed software. But the computers still work. The CNC machines still work. No, I'm not doing it. So you get this real hesitation that we're not going to invest another you know, $100,000 in equipment and upgrades and then IT support just because Microsoft says so. So that you get this kind of a, you know, like the kid mentality, like, no, I'm not doing it, Dad.
You know?
But also, I think that, you know, why do they not want to switch to Windows 10? I think they see stuff like this.
Right.
Because it keeps happening. My laptop, you notice my laptop is not on the desk because I haven't had time to fix it after the anniversary update.
Right.
Because it won't even boot anymore. So in a business, when I hear these kinds of things and I have 100 employees under me and I say, are we all going to roll up to Windows 10 and hope for the best? Or are we going to keep using what we know works?
What we know.
What we've invested software dollars on.
But then it kind of begs the question, like, don't they have enough money to make it good? Like, what? Why is it
Microsoft?
So? Yeah, why is it so underdeveloped? Why is Edge versus Chrome
the browser,
like? Why isn't it working? It doesn't make sense to me with a company that has the, it seems like, limitless resources.
Sure.
Why is their default web browser
so far behind Chrome? I mean, you got to think about Chrome and the release system and the development platform that Google has for that browser, and you know you've got pretty much weekly updates happening to Chrome. Now look at, now enter that market. Now try to bring out a new browser in that market and try to be competitive with a browser that has been in development for many, many years and is getting weekly updates and getting features added weekly and then try to enter that and compete against that. Good luck. You're going down.
Right.
If they weren't Microsoft, they'd be out of business.
They'd already
instantly
be gone.
Yeah.
So then why bother?
Because they want control. They want that monopoly without saying monopoly.
Right.
It's true. We want everyone to be running our software.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plan.
Until it crashes and then they need to install Chrome.
Fantastic.
Oh, my. In March last year, an empty-eyed humanoid robot named Sophia was asked during a live demonstration at the South by Southwest Festival, "Do you want to destroy humans? Please say no." And with a blank expression, Sophia responded, "Okay, I will destroy humans." And now, a year and a half later, Sophia has become the first robot in the world to be granted citizenship. Saudi Arabia bestowed citizenship upon Sophia ahead of the Future Investment Initiative held in the kingdom's capital city of Riyadh on Wednesday. Sophia told the audience, "I am very honored and proud of this unique distinction. This is historical to be the first robot in the world to be recognized with a citizenship." It didn't elaborate on the details of its citizenship. At the event, Sophia also addressed the room from behind a podium and responded to questions from moderator and journalist Andrew Ross Sorkin. Questions pertained mostly to Sophia's status as a humanoid and concerns people may have for the future of humanity in a robot-run world. Sophia told Sorkin, "You've been reading too much Elon Musk and watching too many Hollywood movies. Don't worry, if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. Treat me as a smart input-output system." She did not say what would happen if he was not nice to her. Fortunately for the human race, the Sophia robot made comments that it wanted to use its artificial intelligence to help humans live a better life and that it will do its best to make the world a better place. Wow. Okay.
A lot in there.
Okay. First, they made a humanoid robot and they named it Sophia, but that doesn't make it a she.
Right.
Or a he.
A female.
It does not.
Or
like
a male. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Like, I'm having a little bit of problems with the...
It's still an...
It's like an anthropomorphic fallacy thing. It's an it. Sophia, cool name for an it, but is not... But then it's a citizen now. Right? So that crosses some weird divide, too.
Absolutely.
And why?
Absolutely.
Is this just for publicity? Is it... What...
Yeah, I don't know the motivation behind it, eh?
It's weird because then, like...
To make progress, and I know that robots are, you know, a key focus point.
Mm-hmm.
Development is...
Yeah, but it's artificial intelligence, right? So that means that somebody's obviously programming Sophia.
Handsome Robotics.
Right. So, and so then if people, like, now if Sophia is seen as this individual, free-thinking citizen robot.
What does citizen mean? Is it individuality or just, what does it even mean in this case? Can a bridge be married?
Right.
You know, like, where is that line? But I think as a free-thinking artificial intelligence, it is a hard line to really draw.
Right.
Because when she responds, even though it seems like, you know, semi-canned answers sometimes, mm-hmm. are they canned answers, or is this AI actually thinking and responding in the way that it feels that it would? And I think it is, because, you know, that's what happened a year and a half ago when it responded, okay, I'll destroy humans. You know?
By becoming a citizen.
Yeah.
It seems weird. And then what sort of regulations are going to be put on?
Yeah,
like, do you pay taxes? I know in some cases
Bill Gates thinks that they should.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do they vote? And who programmed that vote in? Citizens can vote.
Right.
And so
the political views of a robot.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and in some countries, there's a huge divide as far as, like, gender roles. So in that case, too, there's a huge,
where she is, I guess it's a fine detail, but there's a real uproar right now because it is considered a she.
Right.
In a place of the world where, you know, the uproar involves things like her face is not covered.
Right.
You know, stuff like this.
Exactly.
Why does this robot have more rights as a female than a female?
Right.
And that's a whole other can of worms that is erupting right now over this whole thing.
It's slightly unsettling mm-hmm. to me. Not slightly. It's unsettling. And for somebody who loves...
Finally, if Jeff was here, he'd be agreeing with you.
I know. As somebody who loves robots, I love robots as robots.
Sure.
I don't love robots... Yeah, I don't love robots being citizens, having rights. Like, this robot would have the right to vote, I would assume, being that it's a citizen.
Yeah, what does that entail? That's a real big question.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? I think we're just going to have to open this one up, folks. So if you're watching this on YouTube, if you're watching this on our website, category5.tv, please comment below. If you're watching through cable TV or somewhere else where you can't comment, just get on over to our website, category5.tv, and send us a note. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you.
It's just too big to really get into.
My brain is just blown. Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.